And we have been looking at the book of 1 Peter. We're going to go to 2 Peter when we get done with this. And talking about a fireproof faith. Having a fireproof faith. And there's a brief outline we're looking at in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. We're going to get to that eventually. And that is how to further strengthen or, how to have better retardant, fire retardant. And strengthen your fire retardantness. You got to be careful how you say that, huh? But that is the outline. And let me tell you something. The book of 1 and 2 Peter are written to Christians that are being persecuted, Jews and Christians that are being persecuted. And the truth is, every one of us are going to go through a storm. I love that song that the men sang. The Cowboy Quartet. The Cowboy Quartet 2, we could call them. And the storms of life will come. We all are going to go through pain and suffering. We all are going to come to the end of this life eventually. And it might be a very trying time, a difficult time. And those things will come. We read in the news of folks that were facing a storm, of course, with a drama and everything that goes along with the drama, the tornadoes, the hurricanes and everything down in Florida. I still want to know how to get the job that you can stand on the beach during a hurricane and talk to people. It's bad out here. I want that job so bad. We're all going to face storms. We're all going to face trials. Maybe not that kind of storm, but the question is, how are we going to get through it? That's why God gave us the books of 1 and 2 Peter, how to get through those storms and trials. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter number 2, and we're going to read the first 10 verses, and we're going to talk about that this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 1 through 10. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, and envyings, and all evil speakings. You know, I just looked at that verse this morning and thought, that would take us completely off a social network, wouldn't it? Or what I like to call it, unsocial network. because there's nothing that makes us more uncivilized and unsociable than so-called social network. But anyways, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him should not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. For in time past we're not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I love that word now, used twice in verse number 10. Now, he is a very present help. Someone quoted that psalm earlier. He is a very present help in our time of need. Father, we pray that you would bless our time together this morning as we take a few moments to look into your word. I pray that we would hear from God today, that we would not allow the devil to block our ears, to blind our eyes, but we would open our ears and open our eyes to the truth of God. I pray if there's anyone that's listening in that is not saved, I pray that this would be the day they come to know You as their Savior. Thank You for the hope that we have in Christ and the confidence, the assurance that we have in Him, in Him alone. The inheritance that's ours in Christ. Bless now Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson this morning, Gary. I even stayed awake this morning. It was good. We talked about the inheritance that we have in Christ. And I don't know if he's ever going to get through chapter 1 of 1 Peter. When we go through these books, I want to just take about a month on the first chapter and a month or two on the second chapter. But we're trying to hurry through them as a church. And there's so many things, especially in these short books, that I want to talk about, that I want to focus on, but I'm trying to limit to something that I think is a key thought in the chapter. But I want you to notice one particular word that's used three times in the verses that we read this morning. In fact, it's used a number of other times. If you have a bulletin there, it has a brief outline. You might be able to figure out what it is already, but there's a few blanks that you can fill in as we go through. But the verse, the Bible says that He is precious to us. He is precious to us. You see that in verse number 4, verse number 6, and verse number 7. You see the word precious. The word precious means, and we sang that song with the kids, they are precious in His sight. Children and adults, all are precious in His sight. They're precious. They're of a high price. Of great value, highly esteemed, dearly beloved. There's a lot of things that go into that word precious. It's not a word that we really think about a lot. Sometimes we use it just in passing and don't really think a lot about that word. I wish that I always knew. I wish that I could always be conscious of what I have in Christ, that He would always be precious to me. The truth is, we all take Him for granted much of the time, don't we? We take our salvation for granted. Much like in our world, we take our spouse, our husband, our wife for granted. But one day, they'll be gone, possibly. And then, how precious those times were. And if we could realize the preciousness of what we have today, think of our children or our parents, how precious they ought to be to us. Now, sometimes you want to wring their neck, right? But in reality, they are precious to us. Think of your house. Aren't you glad you had a house to stay in last night? Aren't you glad you had a bed to sleep in last night? Aren't you glad you had something to eat today? Aren't you glad for your health? And oh, how precious those things ought to be to us. Thankful for a church that we can come to. Thankful for a Bible that we can hold in our hand and know that this is the message that God, this is God revealing Himself to us. Thankful for a country where we have freedom to stand up and proclaim the Word of God. To share the Word of God with others in our community. But one day, that opportunity's going to be gone. One day, our neighbor's not going to be there anymore. One day, we're going to miss our last opportunity to share Christ with them. Oh, how precious God ought to be to us. Notice in verse number 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Talking about the person of Jesus Christ. In verse number 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on Him should not be confounded. And by the way, I love that word, confounded. It's also translated in our Bible many times as the word ashamed. I shall not be ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul says in the book of Romans. And I'm not confounded. It means to make haste. I'm not upset. You ever heard the phrase, they've upset their apple cart? Oh, when He is precious, nothing will confound us. When He is precious like He ought to be to us, nothing will upset us. Nothing will upset our apple cart. We'll just keep going. We'll not be confounded. In verse number 7, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. I like that word, disallowed. I guess I put that in your note. To the world and to religion, Jesus is not precious, but He is disallowed, it says in verse number 7. That means disapproved of, rejected, as having no authority. He's unworthy of our hearing. That's what the world says of Jesus Christ. This Bible is an unworthy book. God has no answers. Oh, God has all the answers, if we're willing to follow Him. The Bible says that we were created by God. Yeah, well, the world just casts that off. Well, we all know that we evolved from a little amoeba crawling on the ground somewhere. No, we don't know that. That's a religion. That's not a faith. But the world says there's no use for God in public places. They're disallowed. But I want to talk this morning for just a few moments, thinking of that word precious. Why is He precious to me? Why is He precious to us? Isn't Jesus precious? Is Jesus precious to you? Is Jesus precious to you? Some of you He is. Can you say amen? Is Jesus precious to you?
Amen.
Amen. He sure is. Oh, yes. He is precious to me. He's more than anything to me. I want you to see, first of all, He is precious because He is the rock of our salvation. He's the rock of our salvation. Look again at verse number 3. It says, if so be, we've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Thank God for His graciousness. Thank God for His goodness, His kindness, His love, His mercy. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Yea, also, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. I love the fact that He says we are lively and living stones. We are placed in Him. You know, with the work that we're doing on having done on the building outside, I mentioned this Wednesday night. What is this that I have in my hand? A brick. This brick isn't much, is it? Won't offer us much protection. It really doesn't mean much. It's really not worth much. But when this brick, this is one that's a leftover, I guess, from when the building was built, or else it fell out of the building somewhere. But I don't know how many bricks are on the outside of this building. I didn't take time to count them. Somebody wants something for the kids to do, go out and count the bricks. That's what they should do in junior church. See how many bricks you can count. That's me. God says that we're lively stones. We're living stones. We are alive in Him. And that brick isn't much by itself, but when we are a part of something bigger than us, we became a part of Jesus Christ. We're a part of Him. And now we are precious, not because we're a brick, but because we're a part of something much bigger than us. When we get saved, are you with me this morning? When we get saved, we become a part of Him. Thank the Lord that we are a part of Him and we have nothing in ourselves but only in Him. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the foundation. He is the one that is precious to us. You know, we often say, and we say this to the kids, and you say this to people that we're introducing them to Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel with them, won't you let Jesus come into your life? You ever heard that phrase? You ever said that phrase? Oh, when we got saved, we asked Jesus to come into our heart. We asked Jesus to come into our life. But what we don't realize, we not only He not only comes into us to live inside of us, He gives us the Holy Spirit to abide in us. But when we are born again, when we are saved, we are placed in Christ. Wow. You see, it's much bigger than us. It's sad that much of our world and much of the time we think of ourselves, and it's not about us, it's about Him. He's precious because we're a part of Him. Not because He's a part of us. He is the rock of our salvation. Thank God for the preciousness of eternal life. We were given two babies. I mentioned announcement time. Two babies born in our church. Almost church twins, right? Almost born the same day. And oh, what a precious thing it is to see these children born and to be able to hold them in our hand, little Hannah and little Colton. They're not here yet this morning. I'm glad Mama stayed home with them to recover a little bit. But they may be listening in this morning. But one of them especially, today folks find out if they're having a boy or girl before the baby's born. In our day, it wasn't like that. I kind of still like the surprise. But one of them was a surprise. Great-grandma, did you have it figured out before they were born? Oh, yeah, you have it figured out. Or something about grandmas can sometimes tell. My mom used to talk about that a lot. She was right most of the time, and that was long before we could tell ahead of time. But oh, that surprise, and what a delight it is, what a joy it is when that child comes into the family, into life, and is born. And so too when we are born. But I got thinking about this. God in eternity past knew those little babies. Before, that song said, before I knew Him, He knew me. Before I loved Him, He loved me. Before the foundations of the world, God knew us. Now, our minds can't wrap around that. We can't comprehend that. But oh, He is precious. He is the rock of our salvation. Don't ever forget that we are in Him. Our life is hid with Christ in God. In fact, the verse in Colossians, I want you to turn there. Colossians chapter number 2. We'll turn to this verse. I'm not going to get through everything I want to, but I want you to see this verse. Colossians chapter number 2. I love this verse. Colossians chapter 2, we begin in verse number 6. You found it there in your Bible. It says, "And we have therefore, as we have therefore received Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abiding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy of vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." But notice verse number 9 says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of God bodily." When Jesus walked on this earth, He was fully man and fully God. Now look at verse number 10. "And ye are complete in Him." We are complete in Him. And there again, that brick doesn't serve much purpose, does it? Maybe a paperweight. Maybe something you can toss around in the yard. But when we're in Christ, we are complete in Him. We become a part of Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. He is precious because He is the rock of our salvation. We are a lively stone. We are a part of Him, His eternal life. And then He is our chief cornerstone. Look at chapter number 2 and verse number 6. "Wherein also is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion," or Zion, in the Old Testament spelled with a Z, and the New Testament spelled with an S. It's kind of like my last name, Fritz. People in Dixon always spell it with a T-T-S. And I tell them, no, the right way of spelling it was with T-Z. But there's just two different spellings of the same name, the same word. And a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. "And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. He is not in the cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the most important cornerstone there ever will be. Isaiah chapter 28 says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion," the Old Testament spelled with a Z, "for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, one of great value, one of great price, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste," shall not be upset. Shall not be, no matter what comes our way, we know that He's the cornerstone. We're founded on the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. In fact, Romans chapter number 9 quotes Isaiah chapter number 28, and it's worded this way in Romans chapter number 9 and verse number 33. "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense." That's to the lost world. That's to the religious crowd. They rejected Him. "And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed," shall not be confounded, shall not be destroyed. Oh, if we could believe on Him. And I love the way the Bible says, not believe in Him, but believe on Him. My faith has found a resting place. I'm believing on, I'm built on the sure foundation in Jesus Christ. You see, if I just have faith in God, that will come and go. Well, I'm not so sure God loves me. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, assurance of salvation. Well, I'm not so sure, but when it's on Christ, as long as He exists, we will exist. As long as He is alive, we are alive, because our life, our faith is on Him. Our faith is eternal. He is our chief cornerstone. And then in chapter 2 and verse number 7, He is precious because He is not only the rock of our salvation, He is our chief cornerstone, but He is also our head. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7, "He is our head. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. For them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner." He is the head of the corner. I want you to turn to this passage of Scripture too. Colossians chapter number 1. I think I wrote that verse down on your paper there. Colossians chapter number 1. Oh, I'm thankful that He is the head. And as long as He is alive, we're doing okay. Colossians chapter number 1, verse 16 through 18. "For by Him were all things created." Isn't that good? It's talking of Jesus Christ. "By Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, that are visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." I love verse number 17. "By Him all things consist." You say, "Pastor, aren't you worried about..." When I was a kid, we were taught to be worried about a nuclear invasion that's going to end everything, right? And, of course, all you have to do to be safe from a nuclear invasion is hide under your school desk, and then everything will be all right, right? We're safe now. We're under the school desk. No problem here. But now we're told that, the climate's changing. Things are getting warmer. We need to start driving gas car or electric cars. Go back to not using electricity and no longer flying in the private jets, and I'll believe what they have to say. But the truth is, we're trusting in a God that by Him all things consist. God holds everything together. And the reality is, if you honestly read history and science, you'll find out the climate's always been changing. It always has been. In fact, the Bible tells us what started the climate change was the flood back in Genesis chapter number 6. That's where climate change started. It's been changing ever since then. And the ultimate end of climate change is in the last chapter of 2 Peter. That's the climate change we ought to be worried about, when everything's going to be melted with a fervent heat. Well, aren't you concerned that, you know, we got to save the, we were supposed to quit using aerosol cans because we're deleting the ozone layer too. And then we're supposed to quit using paper bags and use plastic bags. That, you know, a paper bag will deteriorate in less than a year when it's in the ground, but a plastic bag will stay there forever and it will never deteriorate. But we're saving the planet by putting plastic into the ground and throwing it into the water and all the silly things. But we're trying to do things that only God can do. You see, He is not only the creator, He is a sustainer of all things. Now, that doesn't mean we ought to abuse things, but we ought to realize that there is a God in heaven that is bigger than you and I. And He is the, and by Him all things consist. Now, in verse number 18 of Colossians chapter number 1, and He is the head of the body, the church. You know, Jesus is only the head of one thing. He's not the head of government. He's not the head of your home. He's not the head of every, He's the head of a local church. A local church that's assembled together in Him. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He might have preeminence. He is the head of all. He is the preeminent one. He is the one that's more important than anything else. You know, when we realize the preciousness of our God, and Peter's dealing with some people that are facing some severe persecution and opposition. By the way, we don't know what persecution is in our culture today. We really don't know what opposition is. We really don't know what it is to be hungry. We really don't know what it is to suffer for the sake of Christ. And I'm fine with that, by the way. We go through some difficult times that to us seem big, but when you read history, you find out, whoa, how did they deal with that? Because Jesus was precious to them. When He is precious to us, it doesn't matter what comes our way. He's still in control. We can still rest in Him. When our faith is found upon Him, and it's in the person of Jesus Christ, and He is the most important, the most valuable, the greatest possession we have, the greatest thing that we're a part of is Jesus Christ. He is precious. But when we become precious, that's when we run into problems. And Peter's saying, hey, you're going to go through some hard times. You're going to have folks that your family members are going to turn against you. Your houses are going to be taken from you. You're going to be burned at the stake. You're going to be filleted alive. You're going to have all these terrible things happen to you. But you can stand firm if you realize Jesus is precious. Our faith is in the person of Jesus Christ. And there's where our hope is. And there's where our confidence. How can you get through the trials of life? By looking to Jesus. Making Him your head, making Him your rock, making sure that He is the chief cornerstone, that He is the foundation of your life. I just got studying that word precious in the Bible, and I just gave you a reference to the other places that word is used in 1 Peter. At the end of your bulletin, let me just read through them very quickly. He is precious through the trials. The trying of your faith is more precious than silver or gold. He is His precious blood gives us life in chapter 1 and verse number 19. His faith is precious in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 1. And His promises are precious in 2 Peter 1 and verse number 4. He is precious. Oh, I'm thankful for the precious promises of the Word of God. We talked about, Gary talked about them. We kind of joined in the discussion this morning about our faith is in this book. And all what our faith is founded in this book, there's nothing that's going to come our way that's going to upset our apple cart if we just walk with Him. He is precious. The hope of our salvation. You know, sometimes I get up in the morning, I don't feel very saved. I don't know about you. I don't feel very Christian sometimes. I'm sure you're more spiritual than I am. Yeah, sometimes we think, well, I'm not sure how I'm going to get through this. But when we keep our eyes on Him and He is precious, oh, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim, the song says. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful, precious faith. And the things of earth, they'll grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. When our eyes get fixed upon us and our problems and our heartaches and our trials and the burdens that we carry, that's when we fall. But when He is precious, oh, thank God for the precious Savior. He's precious. He is a high price and great value. He's highly esteemed. He's dearly beloved. There's nothing more valuable than Him. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to walk with Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Savior today? Have you trusted Him? You know, the world, and I think back when I had religion, when folks would talk about Jesus, I say, well, I've got religion, that's good enough. But boy, when I got saved, all of a sudden Jesus became precious to me. He meant so much more. It was more than just a name that we said. He is God Himself. And He lives, I'm a part of Him. I have eternal life in Him and Him alone. Do you know that salvation today? Do you have that relationship with the person of Jesus Christ? Is He precious to you today? If you're not sure of your salvation, we'd love to show you from a Bible how you can know for sure you're saved and on your way to heaven this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand.